Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Grateful that you are with us today. It's a beautiful day for a home opener, although there's some bad weather in the forecast, and hopefully they get the game in. I saw my son's soccer was canceled for tonight because of the storms, thunderstorms, so take precautions. And Marie Le Pen will not be able to run for president of France after a judge is barring her from running for president of France because they say that she abused funds of the European Union. Of course, they want to stop her from being able to run for president of France. So that's not surprising there at all. And a bill protecting women's sports in Pennsylvania has advanced. Delaware Valley Journal has this story, and this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. A bill banning biological males from women's sports passed the State Senate Education Committee, party line vote as Pennsylvania Democrats continue to oppose the policy. It now goes to the full Senate. The Republican majority is expected to pass it. Senate Bill 9, known as the Save Women's Sports Act, would require public schools and colleges to label sports teams as male, female, or co-ed, according to lead sponsor Senator Kim Ward of Westmoreland. Legislation states that only biological females can join teams designated for women. The bill would also allow students to take legal action if they are harmed by violations of the law. All four Democrats on the committee, including State Senators Carolyn Komida, a Democrat of Chester, and Tim Kearney, Democrat of Delaware County, voted no. The passage of the Save Women's Sports Act by the Pennsylvania Senate Education Committee marks a significant step toward maintaining integrity and fairness in women's sports. The bill is about ensuring that female athletes have a level playing field and that the progress made throughout the past decades in women's athletics is protected. I have a question. What does Governor Josh Shapiro do? What does Governor Josh Shapiro do if this bill lands on his desk? Can the Democrats kill this so it never has to be an issue for Governor Josh Shapiro? Now, look, polls show Pennsylvania Democrats are on the wrong side of this issue in the eyes of voters. A New York Times Ipsos poll released earlier this year found 79% of voters, including 67% of Democrats, believe males who identify as females should not be allowed to participate in women's sports. At the federal level, Pennsylvania Democrats have also opposed bills protecting women's only sports, including Senator John Fetterman, Representatives Madeline Dean, Chrissy Houlihan, and Mary Gay Scanlon, all voted against the federal legislation earlier this year to protect women's sports. In Harrisburg, some of the representatives who sponsored a similar bill in 2021 to combat the Biden administration's changes to Title IX were pleased the bill is on its way toward passage in the full Senate. Although now that President Donald Trump is in office, he signed an executive order protecting women who play sports from competing with biological men. And the thing about it is that he's now going after the state of Rhode Island, for example, or state of Maine, excuse me, because if they're not going to follow his policies on this, they're going to lose funding. They will lose funding, and that's what's going to happen. So good. Keep at it. Don't stop. Don't stop on this and keep going. This is what needs to go. It needs to happen. Got to protect women in sports. Now, looking at the swimmer from Penn, the biological male known as Will Thomas, of course, who swam at Penn under the guise of Leah Thomas and caused so much of the national hysteria over this. Well, where does Leah Thomas go in all of this? Will Thomas says he's not giving up. He's going to continue going out there and advocating for transgender women to be able to play in sports. And people like Riley Gaines and Paula Scanlon and others, they're not giving up on this. So truly, the University of Penn, which now the president has cut off funding for Penn because of this, is really ground zero for a lot of this, because it was this particular school where the swimming happened and the competition occurred, and they said, you got to share your trophy with a biological male, and you have to lose to a biological male, that caused so much of the national outrage, but led people like Riley Gaines and Paula Scanlon to speak out, started a movement. This movement is just going full speed ahead. And it, great, good, let it happen. But for Thomas's part, he says he's not giving up. He's going to continue the advocacy of this. So if you want to run for governor, or excuse me, president of the United States in 2028, you're Josh Shapiro, what do? Which side of this issue do you go on? Remember, Gavin Newsom is now trying to flip-flop on this issue. He said to Charlie Kirk in his podcast, he thinks it's ridiculous. At the very same time, he was out there pushing policies to allow transgender men, biological men, to play with women, play on women's teams. That's what he was doing. So he's now trying to rewrite the script of what he's done in the past, just like he said he never said Latinx. I mean, he did say Latinx, said it a whole bunch of times. Shapiro wants to run for president. Does he try to go to the moderate lane and sign the act and save women's sports, knowing that that other lane of people is totally crowded? Does he actually try to be a Democrat who's going to be on the side of women, say, I will take this, I will take the reins, and I will be the one? He can do it in his Barack Obama voice, you know, I come on down here to save women's sports. He could do it like that. But more than likely, he'll join the Democrats in allowing biological men to beat women in sports, to take their trophies and cause physical harm to them. Because the Democrats have no spine, they're on the wrong side of this issue, and they're so afraid of upsetting their base. I mean, it'd be a no-brainer for Shapiro. Come out and be on the side of women and say, we have to defend women in sports. We can be compassionate about it, but people can compete based on their sex assigned at birth. You can use even that dumb phrase the left uses all the time, and there you go. You have to compete based on your sex assigned at birth, and that's how you have to do it. It's only what's fair for women athletes. And then carve the governor into a whole lane now, all on his own. But no, Leah Will Thomas vowing to fight for trans inclusion in sports. And revealing that he feels isolated in all this, and grief and devastation as America now looks towards doing a trans ban for athletes. This is My Sport 2. 2022, Penn graduate Leah Thomas speaks at a forum for transgender youth and says, this is my sport too. No, it is your sport in the men's division. It's absolutely your sport. You just weren't very good in the men's division. So that's why you wanted to swim in the women's division. And you did quite well. You did really well. And so they had to share a trophy with you. No, you know, you did really good. You didn't do so hot as a male swimmer, though. But for Will Thomas to come out and say that this is my sport, too, at this Forum for Transgender Utes, and nobody's doubting that. Of course, swimming is open to both genders. Yes, there should be a men's team and a women's team. Yes, unless it's labeled co-ed, in which case then both teams, women and men, can be on the same team. Co-ed soccer, co-ed baseball, whatever, lots of different fine. But if it's women, then it's women. If it's men, it's men. Not that complicated. That's how it has to be. Is this issue going to be an issue in the governor's race in New Jersey and Virginia in 2025? You bet it will. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm here to tell you that parents do not want this to continue. Will Leah Thomas is on the wrong side of this. Democrats are on the wrong side of this, period. They're on the wrong side of this issue. They should get in front of this, and they should support women and protect women. Women in sports, not going anywhere. This movement has only just begun. It's got steam behind it, and it's got moms behind it, too. A lot of moms. And somebody made the comment about dads, too. You know, dads don't want their little girls having to deal with this. I agree, but I'm telling you, those mama bears who see their daughters work so hard and sacrifice so much to compete, and then they lose out to a biological male like Will Thomas. No. The mama bears do not want to deal with it. They don't want this. Absolutely not. No, the mama bears have said, my daughter has sacrificed way too much. We're not going to allow this to occur. This has to stop. And it's part of the reason why Trump won the suburbs. It's part of the reason why Trump won the suburban women vote, because Donald Trump was speaking out on this issue very, very loudly, clearly. He wasn't hiding behind it. He was saying it. He was saying, look, we're going to end biological men playing against women in sports. Day one, sign an executive order, and we're going to do this, and we're going to stop the Biden's rewriting of Title IX, which, by the way, they did through an executive action, not through Congress, which is what they should have done. So then we have a trans day of visibility, and I don't even know what that means. I have no problem with people being transgender, but do not take away a little girl's dreams if you're a biological man by competing against her. It's not okay. And it's funny, too, because you have some people like the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, who also wants to run for president in 2028. Who's now being called out for his lack of action on the issue. Democrats don't know what to do. I mean, on the one hand, it seemed like up until Trump's election, this was the right side to be. You be on the side of transgender athletes. We know who you are, Governor Moore. We know you can be for us, and I'm begging you to do it, said Advocate Lee Blinder. In a ceremonial room at the historic State House in Maryland on International Transgender Day of Visibility, they went up to the podium. They said, Governor, we need you to help us out here. Live up to your words. You're letting down transgender Marylanders by not putting money in the budget and not backing needed policy changes. Why is the governor running away from this? Because he wants to run for president. That's why. A smart Democrat would run away from this issue and be on the side of women. So if you're Josh Shapiro right now, what you're hoping happens is that you're hoping this bill never reaches your desk. You hope you're not asked about it. You hope that you could pretend like this is not happening. That's what you want. That's what you're hoping for against everything else. Please, I say, don't let this issue become an issue for me. Just make it go away, but it's not going away. And the woke era is not over. Bill Maher sat down with Maureen Dowd, and they talked about this, you know. And Maureen Dowd said, you know, Democrats stopped being any fun. They made everyone feel like everything they said and did, every single word was wrong, and people don't want to live like that. But if you think this is over, you're crazy. Cut 21.
They just stopped being any fun. I mean, they made everything, exactly. Everyone feel that everything they said and did and every word was wrong. And people don't want to live like that, feeling that everything they do is wrong.
No. You think we're over that era? Do you think that?
No. I think, right. I mean, I think Democrats are just in a coma. They haven't figured out.
Right. But no, the woke are not giving up on that. I mean, we saw the Seven Dwarves movie just came out.
Oh, right.
And the,
there
you
are
know,
no dwarves, right?
they fought about the dwarves. It's so funny. The way this is, again, one of my big problems with progressives. They're so stupid so often about things that they find their way back to something that's very unprogressive. Like, you think getting jobs for people, very progressive. Not if you're a dwarf, because like there are dwarves out there who wanted to play these parts who couldn't,
right,
because it was somehow politically incorrect,
right,
to portray dwarves as, I don't know, miners who know Snow White. It's a crazy character that somebody invented for children, and you're arguing about whether it's right if real dwarves play dwarves. There are dwarves in the world,
right,
and there are jobs for them that you lost.
Matt DeSantis, where is my dwarf? I thought you were booking that actress to come on the show.
I'm working on it. I'm hoping it'll be this week. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Has she gotten back to you?
No. I'm going to send another follow-up email today.
They're doing a class action lawsuit against Disney. Can you get the attorney on?
I've tried that route also. I'll send follow-up emails for both today, and I'll let you know how it turns out.
Looking for attention and looking to promote their cause. I really think you just have an issue with this for some reason. I'm not looking to be cruel. I feel bad for them for not getting jobs. I want to give them a platform to raise their case. Why is this so hard to do?
I have no idea. I'm trying to make it happen.
Try
I would
harder.
Love nothing more than to appease you.
Try harder. Come on.
What do you want to show up at the office?
I don't know. Call him.
I don't have a phone number. I'll try to find a phone number.
Oh, my God. Seriously. How come the New York Post was able to get in touch with them? You can't.
I don't know. The New York Post is a big platform.
We're a big platform. We're a huge platform.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't know. Isn't the New York Post the oldest newspaper in the entire country?
Is it? I don't know. I have it right here in my
formerly
penguin-stained fingers. Let me see. New York Post. Oh, speaking of which, there was a story in the New York Post. Remember Peanut the Squirrel? Remember Peanut? I'm showing this on the YouTube stream. Tragic tale, sorry end, squirrel death apology. They finally realized they were nuts. New York officials issued a mea culpa Friday over the seizure and slaughter of beloved Peanut the Squirrel. Man, Peanut was the reason why he gave his life for Trump's victory, in my opinion. Amanda Lefton, acting director of the State Department of Environmental Conservation, issued a statement Friday apologizing to New Yorkers for last fall's heavy-handed and heartless treatment of the beloved pet Peanut, the squirrel, and Fred the raccoon. Don't forget about Fred. He often gets lost in this. We know that we can do better moving forward, she said. We have carefully reviewed all public feedback, and we understand the distress caused to communities throughout the state. I have prioritized a review of our current wildlife protection and enforcement process to protect New Yorkers and this agency from similar incidents in the future. The tardy remarks did not satisfy Mark Longo, Peanut's rescuer and owner, who told the Post the agency's platitudes ring hollow. Today hurt me really bad, to be honest. I'm still shocked and really upset with the response. It took the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, almost 5 months to respond, and they respond with, we can do better. 5 months of not knowing why Peanut was killed. 5 months, and we still don't have the whereabouts of Peanut's and Fred's bodies. No answers, there's no remorse, I'm just at a loss. As of December, the headless bodies of Peanut and Fred were being preserved as evidence in a refrigerated room someplace upstate. Peanut and Fred were seized from Longo's home by the DEC on October 30th and euthanized by the agency one day later after it received an anonymous complaint about an animal possibly infected with rabies at the house. So after all that, they issue a "we should have done better" apology. Pathetic. That was a moment for people, for a lot of people, when they said, our government is so out of control. They send heavily armed thugs to go to this guy's house and take his beloved internet sensation, squirrel and raccoon, who wasn't bothering anybody, And this Peanut was a beloved figure on TikTok and all these videos. They take it from this guy, heavily armed agents. It looked like something of the Gestapo. And that's when people said, enough is enough. I'm telling you, that moved the needle for a lot of people. It really did. Like Dr. Riley said it. Dr. Wolf Riley said, he goes, after this, I'm voting for Trump. I think he was going to vote for Trump anyway. But he said, like, that's it. I'm done. I'm definitely voting for Trump now. What they did to Peanut? Hell no. Hell no. Back to the issue of transgender, though. And get me a dwarf, DeSantis. Get me a dwarf. Seriously.
I'm trying.
Would somebody help him get me a dwarf? This sounds, I don't even like saying the words, get me a dwarf. But I need to say it because it needs to happen. These people deserve a platform. Gavin Newsom's rebrand as a moderate fell apart, though, on this issue of transgender youth and sports and schools. Bill Maher called him out right to his face over the rule in California that kept parents in the dark if their child changed their gender identity. Just so you know, this is exactly what his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, tried doing in New Jersey. He said it was a mandate, but it wasn't. And so school districts are pushing back on this now, thank God, and saying, we will make sure the parents know exactly what's happening. But the governor and the attorney general of New Jersey, because it's always been Murphy's goal to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast, came out there and said, school districts cannot tell parents. And then it was revealed that that's not true. It's only a recommendation. And a lot of school districts around the state, this has become an issue. But Gavin Newsom's a fraud. And I'm glad Bill Maher's exposing him on this for being a fraud. Cut 23.
A little more judgmental than we should be. This notion of cancel culture, you've been living it. You've been on the receiving end of it for years and years and years. That's real. And Democrats need to own up to that. They've got to mature about this.
So what do you say to people who say, well, this sounds all very good, but Governor, you were the poster boy for a lot of this stuff. I see today the Trump administration is... They talked about, I don't know if this is true, but they talked about the fact that California had a rule that schools cannot be required to notify parents if their kids in school right. have changed their gender, their pronouns. Right. That's the kind of thing, even though it doesn't affect a lot of people, yeah. that makes a lot of people go, well, you know what? Yeah. That's the party without common sense. Now, yep. if that's your state, yeah. how are you?
I just disagree with that. I mean, the law was you would be fired. A teacher would be fired if a teacher did not report or snitch on a kid talking about their gender identity. I just think that was wrong. I think teachers should teach. I don't think they should be required to turn in kids. And by the way,
we're talking about their parents. How can you snitch? The idea of a snitch and a parent to me doesn't compute.
Well, but what is the job of a teacher? It's to teach. If Johnny's talking about some identity issue or some issue about liking someone of the same sex, is the teacher's job to then report that? By the way, in this law, the teacher can still do that, but they can't be fired if that's what it can't be fired if that's not what they do. And that's something I think is I just think that was fair.
Bill Maher's spot on about this, by the way. It's the parents. I have a right to know. Parents have a right to know. And using that insane, idiotic logic, if a kid was drinking, if a kid was doing drugs, if a kid was physically hurting himself, teacher's job is to teach, not to snitch. So what, you wouldn't tell anybody? Oh, that's different. Why? Why? Because the left has accepted that a ute who identifies as transgender is perfectly normal, and they do not want to say that it could be anything else other than perfectly normal. Can't be a cry for help? Nope. Can't be that a kid's seeking attention? Nope. Can't be that a kid's experiencing mental illness? Nope. Perfectly normal. So you don't snitch on something that's perfectly normal, you see. No, that's how they rationalize it. A kid was doing drugs or alcohol or something like that, then the teacher would have to snitch because that's hurtful to the kid, you see. But this is perfectly normal, so the teacher should just go back to teaching. That's what Gavin Newsom's saying there. Let's understand exactly what Gavin Newsom's saying. All right, Bill D'Agostino is going to join us from our friends at the Media Research Center and Newsbusters with some great audio and video for us to analyze as we continue along the show. You know, my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria is the man. I was reading this story the other day that said that your gum health directly contributes to your heart health because bacteria in the gums can actually get into the bloodstream, and then also your microbiome. All I know is this. You got to go see a dentist. They say at least twice a year. And if you need a beautiful smile, if you need to have, say, complicated dental work like dental implants, go see Dr. Mike Veneria. He's the best at what he does. You will love the work of Dr. Mike Veneria. I'm telling you, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, let Dr. Mike be the guy who gives you the smile of your dreams. You'll love the office. You'll love the people in the office. You'll love the music that plays in the office. You'll love it all. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to him today by calling 856-786-2020 or going to veneriadental.com. You know, for 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants. Among his peers. That's for a reason, because he's so good at what he does. So stop putting off the dental procedure that you need done and call him today. Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, with our biggest sale ever. Furnaces from $39 a month. Furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month. Plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 and on X at Rich Zeoli. Every week we take a look at some of the craziest moments of the left in the corporate mainstream legacy media with our buddy Bill D'Agostino at the Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill. What's up, my man?
Doing well, man. How are your Phillies doing today?
0-0. So we got nothing. I got nothing yet. You know, hopefully we'll win. We won, you know, we won opening day. We need to win the home opener day. It's like good. It's good karma. So,
yeah, I was definitely following that game without meaning to, because I work with a bunch of Nats fans. So,
see that? There you go. Yeah. What do you got for us this week? You put together a compilation. I love when you make compilations, Bill D'Agostino. Your compilations are top notch, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we had a big here. I mean, big for us. I don't think a lot of other people were following it, but the media is all we do, right? So there was a hearing on the Hill last week about NPR and sort of circuitously related to PBS as well. Their CEO getting grilled pretty hard, and it was a big week for us because of that. We've been kind of leading the charge to defund both of those organizations as soon as possible. I mean, they're literally just taxpayer funded, MSNBC at this point. So, we put together a little sampling of the worst of the worst that we could find on PBS's televised programs over the last, be like 20, 25 years, something like that. So that's, That's what this compilation is. It's you'll be surprised at some of this. It's worse than you might imagine.
All right. Let's, without further ado, cut number 30.
I don't think I have any Jesse Helms defenders here, Nina.
Not me. I think he ought to be worried about the about what's going on in the good Lord's mind, because if there's retributive justice, he'll get AIDS from a transfusion, or one of his grandchildren will get it.
The man is on the court. You know, I hope his wife feeds him lots of eggs and butter, and he dies early like many black men do of heart disease.
The idea got into their minds that to kill other people is a great thing to do and that they would be rewarded in the hereafter.
But Christians do that every single day in this country.
Do they blow people up?
Yes, Christians every day. People walk in the post office.
Fidel is now 61 years old, but his charisma remains as strong as ever. Fidel touched this young machine adjuster, and the man enjoyed a mild ecstasy. I know the feeling. He has inspired the majority with his charisma.
In 2010, there was a Tea Party rally at the Capitol. Did you have a sense from listening to that rally and the people there that they were as much interested in being anti-black as they were anti-Obamacare?
America is exceptionally religious, has always been exceptionally religious, compared to the rest of...
Founded by people who were seeking religious freedom.
Well, that's a charitable way of putting it. Founded also by a theocratic cult of religious nuts.
Right, right.
This week, 82 years ago, Kristallnacht happened, and in that tower of burning books, it led to an attack on fact, knowledge, history, and truth. After 4 years of a modern-day assault on those same values by Donald Trump, the Biden-Harris team pledges a return to norms, including the truth.
Wow. That was Christian Amanpour, right?
Yeah. What I love about that clip is when I was workshopping that with a few of my colleagues, every single one of them started laughing when she started talking about Kristallnacht, because everybody knows what's coming after that, right? You look at the quality of the video, you can tell it's fairly recent. You're like, okay, this is about Trump, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. 4 years after Trump, those same things. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Right. And I love how she holds up the Biden-Harris administration as like, it's almost like an infomercial, right? It's like, how many times has this happened to you? A tower of burning books and Kristallnacht. Well, there's a solution.
Yeah. So that was even before the election, you're saying that was done, that in-kind contribution to their campaign.
I think that was in the interim. So Biden was already ascendant at that point. But it was like, hey, guys, you know, help's coming. Relief is on the way. The return to norms is just around the corner. Just wait till January. And boy, did those norms return.
No, they certainly
right
returned
at the start of 2021.
I loved when the Representative Brendan Gill read all the tweets that Catherine Mayer had put out over the years, the NPR CEO, to her face, and said, and she's like, I never read that book. He's like, really? Because you tweeted about it and you said you read it. And, you know, those were some great moments there. The two of them, NPR and PBS, are so bad that even Bill Maher, let's do this. Let's cue up here. Cut number 29. Even Bill Maher on his Real Time show said they have to be defunded. I mean, this is a Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen, cut 29.
The heads of NPR and PBS testified before Congress this week amid accusations of liberal bias. Should the government continue to send taxpayer dollars to public broadcasters? Well, a little background here. I mean, they've been after them for the Republicans have wanted to get rid of PBS for as long as I can remember. This crowd will probably do it. I mean, I also read my namesake, Catherine Mayer, was head of NPR, and, you know, she said, we're completely unbiased. Give me a break, lady. I mean, they're crazy far left. So, I mean, I think we're past the age, really, where the government, first of all, why do we need to subsidize? Why can't we have outlets like this? And we're so polarized. These outlets became popular at a time when Republicans and Democrats didn't hate each other and weren't at each other's throats and didn't think each other was an existential threat. In that world, you can't have places like this, I think, anymore. They have to be private.
I mean, he's right about the fact that there's no bias. You know, it was laughable for her to say no bias. What was it? 87 of the editors that worked at NPR or something. I forget the statistic. All were registered Democrats.
Yeah, there's 87 total of them, and yeah, all of them are Democrats. And she professed to be unaware of that, as she was also supposedly unaware of the book that she was tweeting about reading in 2020 and the numerous other things that she was seemingly incredibly familiar with in 2020 until Brandon Gill said, "Hey, why did you write this?" She said, "Oh, I don't remember that." That was basically the entire 5 minutes that he questioned her. He was feasting that day. He was doing fantastic work.
No, he deserves a medal for that. His staff doing all the research and finding all that. It was great work.
Yeah.
I saw a story on newsbusters.org that PBS is actually claiming that the right has the narrative dominance. Is that for real?
Yeah, that would be our Clay Waters who flagged that down. He's actually been doing he's kind of our dedicated PBS correspondent and NPR correspondent at this point. He focuses almost entirely on the publicly funded stuff and the occasional swing at the New York Times, because why do you not do that, right?
Right.
But
yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, he finds stuff like that routinely. I mean, check out his author's page on Newsbusters. It's insanity all the way down. It's wild, some of the stuff that Clay finds.
You know, Bill, and Bill DeAgostino is with me from the Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill. You know what's amazing is that you have outlets like the New York Times and others now kind of admitting that they covered up things like the COVID lab leak and the Hunter Biden laptop and, NPR saying this and, we should have done more. I mean, they're acknowledging that they are propagandists. So that it's not like they missed it because they didn't try hard enough. They weren't saying that, we put too many of our people on the beat covering high school pickup basketball games. They were propagandists. And that's what the truth of this mea culpa is all about.
All right, it's never a complete mea culpa, because what you're saying didn't happen is what they are saying did happen, right? There, it's always, well, we couldn't have known better, right? All the experts misled us. It was those experts, not us. It's never their fault, and there is never an overarching pattern whenever they own up to anything, right? It's like, oh, well, we happen to get this one wrong. Sorry. Right. Yeah. It's like if you keep hiring the same babysitter and the same babysitter keeps letting terrible things happen. Right. And she's like, oh, yeah, the house burned down that one time. But, there was a gas leak. Like, I didn't know what to do. And it's like, right. But what about the entire pattern of behavior leading up to the house burning down?
Right.
Right. Yeah, like, these are not isolated incidents.
So this next cut you have for us, describe this here. Ben Folds, is that like Ben Folds 5? Is that the band?
Yeah. You know what's funny about this is when I saw people clipping and like tweeting this little clip that we're going to see, some people were commenting below as if Ben Folds was a political commentator. They didn't even know who he was. Mm. Right? And I'm realizing now that Ben Folds is like this absurd anachronism. Like, why are we listening to Ben Folds' thoughts on the current culture war? Why is Nora O'Donnell interviewing Ben Folds? And it's because he was who was available, right? She's not really at the same level of prominence that she was. Nobody wants to talk to the media anymore about this stuff. And so they have to dip all the way deep into their bag of cultural relevance, all the way down to Ben Folds. Right? I mean, I can't imagine that all of your listeners know who he is. Maybe I'm wrong. I still remember him. So I don't know. I'm a fair bit younger than some of my coworkers who don't remember him, though. So
no, I mean, I'm Gen X. I remember him, but then I don't remember him in the same time. So, I mean, I know who he is, but I don't, So he's obviously not an A-lister is the point. This isn't an A-lister going on to talk to CBS's Nora O'Donnell. And this is kind of a big show, you would think, or at least that's what people would presume. So this is the subject here is what? The culturally ascendant right?
That's more my phrasing of it. But he's talking essentially about the Trumpist takeover of the culture, which is apparently happening right now, and it's ongoing, and it's all authoritarian. And I don't know, I guess Ben has never heard of the Long March Through the Institutions. I mean, Ben Folds himself was kind of at the vanguard of like left-wing culture being pushed through music.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, he had overtly social political commentary in some of his songs, right? And so the fact that he's saying this just shows that he's so steeped in it that he's not even aware it's there, right? It's like a fish who's unaware of what water is.
Well, let's take a listen. Cut 31.
Musician Ben Folds is among those who resigned after serving as the artistic advisor of the National Symphony Orchestra, part of the Kennedy Center.
Let's say I get in an artist that has different views than the president. Do they feel safe being themselves? Do they feel safe saying what they believe? They're not political shows, but this is, you can express what you'd like to.
And you think that's no longer the case?
Well, I suspect it's no longer the case. There is an instinct, an authoritarian instinct, that is true in all authoritarian times in history. Take control of the culture, take control of the arts early on.
We reached out to the White House and Kennedy Center for this story. No one responded to our request for interviews.
What's the hardest part about all this?
I think the sting is the disregard for expertise and experience. And we were working towards something extraordinary.
Now, Deborah Rutter says she hopes the institution's founding message isn't forgotten.
I often go back to Eisenhower's words and then Kennedy's words to think about who are we, what do we do? We believe that all of Americans should be seen and should feel welcome at the Kennedy Center.
It seems to me that what they're talking about here is they want more government funding for things like the National Symphony. And everything. I mean, last time I checked, Trump has not banned classical music, has he? Did I miss something?
Right, and what is Ben Folds kind of implying without saying that it's actually happening there in the beginning? Right, he's saying, you know, do artists who disagree with the president feel free to express themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And nor, like, maybe they're not going to be able to play in the symphony, for example. Maybe they're not going to be allowed to form at the Kennedy Center. And Nora O'Donnell says, "Is that happening?" And he goes, "Well, I suspect it's happening."
Suspect,
so he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know, right? So this is a fake moral panic over something that, in fact, is not occurring. And then you get that ridiculous line about, yeah, there's this authoritarian takeover of the arts, of the culture. And it's like, Ben, I'm sorry, who took over the arts and the culture deliberately, right? Like, during your lifetime, you are a product of it, Ben. Come on.
I mean, like Disney bombed at the box office, and that's being kind. Trump had nothing to do with that. I mean, it wasn't like Trump took people's tickets away or closed theaters or, you know, put the military outside the box office. People didn't want to go see this crappy movie. So if there's a cultural shift, it's because the left at Hollywood went so woke. Arts in general went so woke. And there was a story of the show White Lotus, which is wacky, but there was a scene where I guess Carrie Coons was going to talk about having a transgender kid, and they decided to cut that after Trump's election. I mean, most of this stuff that's happening in arts is the marketplace responding to what the people want. It's nothing to do with Trump has nothing to do with this stuff.
Right. It's not authoritarian just because it's a right wing backlash to left wing cultural nonsense. Right. Which is that's basically how they frame it. Right. That's essentially what authoritarian is at this point. It's synonymous with socially conservative. The White Lotus thing is a perfect example. Trump did not sign some kind of executive order. He did not threaten the show. Right. They adapted to what they perceive the market demand is, which is maybe fewer transgender random kids on your Netflix show, or whatever White Lotus is on. I don't know if it's Netflix or what, but
HBO Max. There is a cultural backlash happening. There's also something too, which is that for a lot of this, they're finally making shows that appeal to people who are Trump voters. I mean, Taylor Sheridan's a great example. A guy is cashing it in, making content that people who don't want to be lectured about woke and don't want to be made to feel bad, like Maureen Dowd said in that interview with Bill Maher. And there's a marketplace for that. And people in Hollywood would be smart to tap into it, but they don't because they view themselves as the resistance. And so they can't make a product that people want. And then they scream if then the government doesn't step in to fill that funding gap. Why should the government fill that funding gap? If you can't get enough people in the seats to see these things, well, then the marketplace has decided. But they act as if then that's some sort of authoritarian thing that they're disbanding the culture and it must live on. I mean, I'm sorry, if people don't want to pay $400 to see a Broadway play and the play doesn't make money, the government shouldn't be stepping in to subsidize that. It's outrageous prices.
Right. Like compete in the marketplace. Right. It's not complicated. But then again, they think that capitalism is some kind of authoritarian grab on power too.
Oh, that's
right?
True.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, the reality is they don't like the very underpinnings of the free market. So of course they take issue with all of this because they don't like any bit of it.
Last week, you came up with a great, you put together Bill D'Agostino. Bill's with the Media Research Center Newsbusters, and he's on X at @band_Bill. You put together a great compilation of the left and the media just praising Elon Musk, comparing him to Jesus Christ and the smartest man on the planet and everything else. We're at a place now where, you know, there's this video going around of this idiot in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, not far from us in Bucks County, who keyed a guy's car with a swastika, claimed he was doing it with a crayon, did it outside of his gym, then went into the gym and checked in. The video's gone viral now. You're seeing all these incidents of political Tesla terrorism that's going on. So I have not heard any major Democrat or any major media figure condemn this. Have you?
No, and I haven't heard anybody from the media asking a Democrat to condemn it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the way the media are handling this is by ignoring most of the vandalism, or they'll mention it as kind of a passing thought. And then they'll emphasize these protests that are happening around the country instead. And then when the president says people who are burning down Tesla dealerships are going to be treated as terrorists, they say, oh, look, he's treating the protesters as terrorists. Right. And it's like, no, it's not the protests that anybody has an issue with. We think they're stupid. We don't think they're illegal. They're not.
Well, with that, let's play Rachel Maddow. Take a listen.
They're small, too, which actually shows its own kind of courage. Little protests, little sort of sparky, spunky protests this weekend in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and in Canton, Ohio. Even after President Trump and his top campaign donor and the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, all started threatening Americans who don't support Elon Musk's car company. They started threatening people that they'd be hit with terrorism charges, or that these, boycotting Tesla or protesting against Tesla was somehow specially illegal in a way that other forms of protests aren't, which is nonsense legally, but they issued the threats anyway.
Is she insane? We're talking about people bombing Teslas and throwing Molotov cocktails at them and carving Nazi symbols into them. What the hell is she talking about?
Well, she doesn't want to talk about that happening. And so she is implying that all of these claims of terrorism are actually just being targeted at these protests, right? What she calls sparky, plucky little protests. She's implying that that is who the Trump administration is going after.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, the smugness in her voice, either she is a much better actor than I thought she was, or she is so in her bubble that she's unaware that actual terrorism is happening. And by terrorism, Rachel, I don't mean sparky, plucky protests. I mean terrorism. I mean firebombing and burning down of dealerships.
And that's what we're watching. That's what's happening, Bill. That's, you cannot get away from that. It's happening all over the place. It's happening in our area. That's the truth. I mean, it's everywhere we look. And no one has shut down protests against Elon Musk or Doge. And to equate that as to what's happening there is just absolutely insane. All right. The last cut you have for us is a former MSNBC host. Who is this now?
So she actually used to have the slot that Joy Reid had. Joy Reid previously had this slot, and then when Chris Matthews got Me Too'd, Joy Reid moved into the 7 p.m. weeknight slot. And oh my gosh, I'm forgetting this woman's name now. I sent you the clip. She's no longer on MSNBC, but she appeared on CNN. Thank you, Tiffany Cross. Yeah, the Cross Connection was the name of her show, and she was we somehow managed to be more racist and vitriolic than Joy Reid. The term Uncle Tom was like a pretty frequent, like pretty common fixture on her show, right? Like Ben Carson, Clarence Thomas, everybody. If you were a black Republican, Tiffany Cross had words for you.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up leaving that network, and now she's going on CNN to say the most preposterous things that I think any candidate can say.
All right, let's take a listen. Cut 32.
As a patriot, Scott, I find it really troubling because they ran on this whole idea of this pseudo-patriotism, this regressive masculine patriotism, yet everything they're doing runs against making America great.
Well,
it was never great, so I'm not going to say the again part, but making America great.
It was never great, but she's a patriot.
I love that. I love that. It's a 15-second clip, and she contradicts herself in the most aggressive and stupid way possible in 15 seconds. Right? Yeah. And those 15 seconds are basically all you need to know about Tiffany Cross. That she is that. That performance that you just saw, that was her two-hour show. It was just 2 hours of that.
Wow. Well, it's a shame. It's a shame we don't get to tune in and see it anymore. Bill, excellent job as always. Thanks for joining us this week. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. Good to see you, Rich.
Good to see you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Remember that time that the Love Gov Andrew Cuomo came out and said it was never that great? He was talking about America. It was never that great. Stinks. New York stinks. Yeah, that's something Cuomo said. It was early on in his term as governor. It was never that great. All right, we got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up. President's supposed to sign some executive orders. They're pushing back now on the tariffs. And so Caroline Leavitt is talking about all of the tariffs that are imposed upon the United States of America. We'll share some of that with you as well. And the District Attorney of Philadelphia, Larry Krasner, says it's time to start punching back. What does he mean? Big 5 o'clock hour, 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.